Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of April 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look, too, at the agricultural futures markets with Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I. He thinks that maybe the marketplace has got one part of the market right, but maybe not the other, potentially not building enough risk yet at this point for the coming crop year. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. Speaking of risks, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The numbers in Chicago finished higher for the day, and the grains and new oil seeds. Corn futures were up 2 3/4. The May contract at $3.63 3/4. July at $3.67 3/4, 3 1/4 higher. September at $3.74 3/4 a bushel, up 3. In December corn, the new crop, $3.85 1/2, 3 cents higher. Next year's March at $3.97, up 3 1/4 cents for the day. Now the soy complex, May beans, 11 cents higher, $9.88 1/2. The settlement price, July at $9.88, up 10 3/4. August, $9.82 1/4, 10 3/4 higher. And November beans at $9.61 3/4, up 8 3/4. January futures, $9.67 3/4, 8 3/4 cents higher as well. Bean meal futures at $3.24.20, up 5.50. Bean oil at $31.47, finished 24 cents higher. Chicago soft red winter wheat in the July at $4.83 1/2. The harvest month up 7 1/4. The hard winter in the July at $5.09 1/2, up 6 1/2 cents. Live cattle futures at $160.95 in the April were a nickel lower. June down 17 1/2 at $150.95. Feeder cattle for the day finished the lead option April at $2.16.80, up 82 1/2 cents. May at $2.13.20, 85 cents higher for the afternoon. And the lean hogs in the May contract at $75.40, $1.65 higher. June up $1.35. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
The outside markets traded the June crude oil to $1.55 higher at this hour, $58.61 a barrel. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.94 a gallon, up 2 4/10 cents. And the gasoline on the wholesale price, that's the RBOB, at $2.02, a penny and a tenth higher. Natural gas for the day at $2.59 7/10, up 6 cents. And ethanol futures in its last trade and settlement price at $1.63 7/10, 6 tenths of a cent. Entire. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 101 points at 17,957 at this time. Gold futures at $1,202, around $11.50 lower on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar index down 0.934 at 95.26. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Isolated showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 5 p.m. Mostly sunny, really, though. A high of 68 degrees on a north wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour. It will gust to 17. Chance of precipitation really, really low, just 10%. Scattered showers and thunderstorms be more before midnight. The chance in the evening hours at 40%. Those will be isolated, especially between midnight and 3 a.m. Mostly cloudy at a low of 42 tonight. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, 61 on a north wind at 9 to 16. And Thursday evening, mostly clear with a low of 40. Sunny skies on Friday and 69 degrees. Saturday, sunny and 72. Sunday, a chance of showers and partly sunny for the most part with 76 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It is the 29th day of April. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us today is Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for taking the time with us. I'll bet farmers are pretty interested in the reasons that soybeans have been able to rally the last couple of days. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think when you look at the, it was really great to see a sale yesterday, which was new crop beans, 390,000 metric tons. But today it's more about the ports in Argentina and the strike that's going to go on there over pay. And, it's called an indefinite strike. We'll see once if it actually ends up being indefinite. But I think what it's doing is the same thing that we've been seeing happening because of the pickup in corn planting. We're seeing some of the spreads unwinding. Where people had bought wheat, sold beans, bought corn, sold beans, now we're starting to see that come off. And, the idea that we're going to plant a ton more bean acres is becoming more diminished with each nice day that we have outside.
And I saw one other little item related to Argentina, since you mentioned it. It was about Monsanto. Did you catch that one?
I did. I thought that was pretty interesting. In fact, I had a laugh out loud to myself. Argentina said they're planning on trying to ban the Monsanto bean royalties. I had to have a giggle about that. There's no question. And, prior to this, the closing of these ports right now, their exports have really picked up down there. And so I would imagine, that we have to be very much on our toes with old crop and take advantage of these bounces.
Okay, so in Argentina, of course, they picked up out of the ports. How about Brazil? Have farmers been there selling?
They have. Actually, farmer selling has really picked up a great deal. And I thought it was interesting today they talked about the lending rates down in, down in Brazil, because we're, of course, very interested in what the Fed had to say today. Their prime lending rates between banks is 13.25%. And we're getting all excited about maybe a quarter to a half a basis point increase coming at the end of the year, or maybe even a 2%. You just don't know. But the Fed did come out today and say that basically due to the bad weather that we had, the GDP was only 0.2% of growth for the first quarter compared to a percent expectation. Fracking slowdown, the West Coast strike, all of those things had an impact on them, and now they're saying they're not giving any true time frame, but they're just not going to do anything. But there was something interesting that I thought came out of Brazil, and that was basically there's a company down there called Vale South America, and they are they're the world's biggest iron producer, and they're looking to build 50 giant carriers called Vale Max, and basically they're looking to China to build them and then to lease them for 20 years. It's kind of interesting, the timing, because the Baltic dry freight rate right now is at a 30-year low. That's what we always watch to determine how much is moving across the ocean. But, the speculation is that this would give Vale the opportunity to lock in rates of about $13 a ton for the next 20 years. And each ship would actually carry 2 million tons of iron ore to China each year. In other words, if you look at 50 ships, you're talking 100 million tons of iron ore. That's a lot of money savings.
It is indeed a lot of money. Other things around the planet that we ought to be aware of that you've been watching?
Well, a lot of good things. A lot of things, let's put it that way. Some of them good, some of them not so good. The Eurozone basically is, they look like they're emerging from the credit squeeze basically as of March. The big question now is, what's going to happen with Greece? Greece is going to present a proposal tomorrow in hopes of trying to unlock some of that bailout money, because they're pretty much out of money. In general, ethanol stocks came in today on the EIA down for the first time in a long, long time. Now, crude oil had its 14th week of a build in stocks, and yet we've seen the highest price in June now since December. So, those things are very interesting. The dollar's weaker, and I believe the dollar is weaker on economic news. It traded below the 100-day moving average today for the first time in the life of the June contract. And so the dollar index continues to stay above the 100-day, but the individual contract is below. So I think that, that could help us from an export sales standpoint. And, you know, you look at, if you look at corn on its own, you know, I thought the cattle on feed report was supportive, even though, you know, 100% of last year isn't any big growth. It's still better than a deduction in cattle. And I thought, too, that I've got some numbers, Todd, on like July-December corn both closed last Friday below the trend line that we put in from the low in January to the low in March. So if people are looking for resistance, 368.5 in July, 388 in December. Avian bird flu, kind of negative, and they think that it's likely to keep up through the summer and then die down. And then, of course, when the fall, when the birds migrate south again, we could really see some issues. Now, on beans, same thing on that July, November. We had a breakout in the July today. The resistance point was the upside. It was at 983, but the upside potential is 996 on July. On November, basically, we're also in a similar situation. The breakout, 960 was the breakout point, and we did break it out, you know, so that puts 978 and three quarters in the game. I would just say to guys that are watching this, you know, you have to be very careful, because just because it breaks out one day doesn't mean it's going to keep on doing it. And take a good look. I mean, people are not selling. We have a lot of product out in the country. And then we have wheat. You know, we don't talk about wheat very much, Todd. And so for our guys down south, that crop rating didn't improve, you know, and we saw poor to very poor actually gain 1%. The only question I have is, did it really reflect the rains that we had over the weekend out there? You know, that's the big question that we're going to have to deal with when we come to Monday. But crop progress, I think at the rate we're going, we could be at 50% planted with corn on Monday. It's going to be interesting to watch.
It certainly will. I know you'll be keeping an eye on things. Thanks for being with us for the day. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You
Take
too.
Care.
That, of course, yeah, is Jackie Vake. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the closing market report from Illinois Public Media for this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear her again, you can do that on our website at willag.org. You can even do it in your tractor cab or the truck cab, as long as you probably have a Bluetooth radio. You can run it right through there off your smartphone, willag.org. All the programming is there, not very long after we air it on our radio stations. Now, up next, Dave Dickey's here with a look at today's agricultural news.
Senate Republicans are set to introduce legislation Thursday aimed at preventing the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency from implementing the Waters of the United States rule. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee passed the Regulatory Integrity Act of 2015 earlier this week that would withdraw the rule and require EPA to develop a new rule that takes into consideration input from state and local governments as well as other stakeholders. A federal judge has let stand a Vermont law that could make the state the first in the country to require labeling of genetically engineered food. U.S. District Court Judge Christina Reese ruled against the Grocery Manufacturers Association and other industry groups in their request for a preliminary order to block the law from going into effect on July 1st of next year. The judge partially granted and partially denied the state's motion to dismiss the industry lawsuit, meaning that the case is likely to go to trial. Tyson Foods says it plans to largely eliminate antibiotics used in human health from its chicken production by the end of September 2017. The company may still use some antibiotics used in human medicine to treat birds that become sick. Tyson's plan is among the biggest in a string of actions by meat producers, restaurant chains, and retailers to address fears that widespread antibiotics use in both humans and animals is giving rise to dangerous bacteria. The moves also reflect a U.S. food industry seeking to address broader concerns by consumers about what's in their food and the safety and ethics of how it is produced. Tyson thinks it will be able to replace antibiotics used in human health by using a combination of vaccines, biosecurity advancements for chicken houses, and probiotics, which are living bacteria that can help combat germs. California Governor Jerry Brown yesterday called for $10,000 fines for residents and businesses that waste the most water during the drought. Later yesterday, the California Water Resources Control Board released updated mandatory water restriction targets, cutting consumption by as much as 36% compared with 2013 levels. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, the price of corn is as low as it's been since last fall. It reflects the large size of last year's crop and surprisingly little concern about this year's crop. December corn futures in Chicago at the time of this writing were priced in the low $3.80 level. That's about 20 cents better than the contract low set last fall, but still not nearly strong enough to reflect the 425 season's average cash price the University of Illinois ag economists are using in their supply and demand table for the coming year. Darrell Good sums it up this way.
Current prices appear to reflect minimum production risk and surprisingly weak demand prospects.
Let's take that statement apart. We'll start with price. The price of old crop corn, while at the lowest level since last October at the Futures Exchange in Chicago, is not nearly so cheap in the country. Last fall, corn for July delivery in central Illinois was priced 70 cents under the July contract. It's now 14 cents under. Here's what that in relative terms means. The cash price for the same delivery time at this point could be as much as 70 cents better today than it was last fall. The supply and demand of corn have changed since last fall, too. However, looking forward, Darrell Good says the current price of corn reflects expectations for a combination of prolonged demand weakness and another year of ample supplies.
Expectations for demand weakness center on the ethanol and export markets. It is generally argued that plateauing domestic ethanol consumption, a stronger dollar that could favor ethanol imports over exports, and low crude oil prices will limit the prices of ethanol and the demand for corn. Similarly, abundant world grain supplies and a strong dollar are expected to create a weak demand environment for U.S. corn in the world market. In contrast, the domestic feed demand for corn should be supported by ongoing expansion in livestock and poultry numbers.
The combination of expanding livestock numbers and low corn prices, writes Good in his FarmDoc Daily website posting April the 27th, should generate a high level of consumption. That's demand. Supply will be largely dependent on the number of acres of corn farmers plant this spring and weather this summer. We'll know more June 30th when USDA releases the planted acreage report. Here's how those numbers have changed from March to June since 1996.
From 1996 through 2014, the final estimate of planted acreage of corn exceeded the March intentions estimate in 7 years and was less than March intentions in 12 years. In most years, that difference was within the range of sampling error. The exception was 2007, when actual planted acres exceeded intentions by over 3 million acres.
There's already a lot of discussion again this year about the direction and magnitude of the difference between actual and intended acreage of corn. Chances are, says Darrell Good, the difference will not substantially alter production expectations. All else equal, the larger percentage of the crop that is planted in a timely fashion, the higher the U.S. average yield potential. However, all else is rarely equal, says Good, with the magnitude of yield ultimately determined by summer weather. Unless an unusually large or small percentage of the crop is planted late this year, yield expectations should continue to focus on trend value in the range of 164 to 165 bushels. The USDA will report an expected yield in the May 12 WASDE figures. That yield expectation is based on weather-adjusted trend models that reflect expected planting progress at mid-May. As per current prices, these appear to reflect minimum production risk and surprisingly weak demand prospects. Hey, remember, if you'd like to read more from Daryl Good or any of the Ag Economists, you can do that 5 days a week, a brand new article posted to the Farm Doc Daily website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Oftentimes, there is a podcast or an audio file there with it, so if you're in your vehicle and you hook up to your Bluetooth with your phone, you can just listen to what they have to say. Sometimes I'm involved with that, at others I'm not, but we're always glad to have you at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's check now the cash grain market. Stephen Linneber is on the phone line. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, the ethanol plant there. Thanks so much, Stephen, for joining me. First, the ethanol plant is running at a profit still, or just marginally?
Margin still plus. So, as of right now, things looking okay. Obviously, as corn movement is starting to become a little quieter, as we're starting to talk about wheels turning in the field, movement slowing down, starting to have to look to find corn, and with that, offers getting a little more expensive could have an impact on margin, no question, but today still feeling okay.
And I think you and I discussed this just quickly, but I think from Decatur to Jacksonville in our listening area, probably really close to being done planting corn here in Champaign County and along the Illinois-Indiana border, maybe in their second day getting a good start. And you are maybe not really started very much at all, right?
Very, very little. I think you got to find the sandier soil to where we're seeing those wheels turn today. And the interesting thing is in those areas, wheels turning and still kicking up dust. So a little drier in places and taking advantage of those, but generally speaking for the state, we're 2 to 3 days out to really get this dry enough. Looks dry on the top layer, but you kick that crust off and it's pretty soft underneath yet.
Are you cautious about the upturn in the corn market?
Little. I think honestly you can only beat the thing down as far as you find a little bit of demand, and we can talk all different ways as to why we think we see a little bit of a spike here, but I think we're looking for a rally. Farmers looking for the rally. Unfortunately, we're looking for a 15 to 20 cent uptick with planting, and this may be as much of a rally we see, but definitely see it as still as a sell indicator if you have to get something on the books.
And what does your basis look like at this time?
Very strong, remain strong at least as we start to go to the July, looking at, right around a flat bid versus the July or option price the July.
What are your bids spot month and then for new crop?
Spot bid right now would be 368, new crop value about 365 on the corn side.
And soybean processors in the area, how are they handling the move into the field?
Okay. I think really we're more talking about, what kind of pressure we're going to see on bean meal basis with the avian flu really making a pretty big sting, giving us a little bit of a concern that, maybe the time to move those
agricultural
now
programs.
Is the process are still paying up, partially due to the fact that we are getting into the field or talking about it at least. But it feels like June, July could be a time frame there where bean basis gets a little weaker because of, the lack of demand.
Thanks so much, Stephen. Stephen Linneber at the Anderson's facility in Indiana.
It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Robert Fitzroy died. A British naval officer and meteorologist, Fitzroy devised a storm warning system that was the prototype of the daily weather forecast. He also invented a barometer and published the weather book. In 1872, Louis Pasteur lectured at the French Academy of Science in support of his germ theory of disease, in which he held that many diseases were caused by tiny organisms. In 1904, the Louisiana Purchase Exposition opened in St. Louis. It was at the fair that the ice cream cone was reported to be invented. The hot dog and iced tea were also popularized at the fair. In 1952, Mr. Potato Head is introduced to the world. The original Mr. Potato contained 70 body parts, but parents had to supply children with real potatoes for the body. Mr. Potato Head was the first toy to be advertised on television, and the advertising blitz netted Hasbro more than $100 million in the first year of production. Mrs. Potato Head came a year later in 1953. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated joins us to take up the weather forecast for the growing regions in the United States. Let's start with the Delta, where they have been really wet. That shows in some of the corn planting data, especially out of Tennessee, parts of the Delta region. Are they expected to dry out and to get those planters running again?
I do think they will. The weather forecast for next week will likely build a little bit of ridginess over the southeastern corner of the country. Nothing very strong, but just enough to push the jet stream further to the north so that shower and thunderstorm activity becomes more focused on areas north of the Delta in the southeastern states and even north of the Ohio River, for that matter. And the drier tendency in these southern states will likely allow for a much more aggressive attack on some of the fields. We should see a lot of good progress made. It's been kind of a rough go for a while. Some of these areas are really quite a bit wetter than they should be at this time of year.
And then if you come just a bit north, what do we see for the eastern part of Illinois, the western part of Indiana?
Well, it still looks like we're going to see a little bit of rain in the northern and western parts of Illinois periodically over the coming week. I think the next few days, though, is going to be very pleasant across the majority of the region. The area that will see the least amount of rain will be the immediate Ohio River Valley. Those areas are probably not going to see a lot of precipitation. I can't promise it will be absolutely dry, but the majority of that region in southern Illinois, southwestern Indiana, and western Kentucky will certainly have a drier bias relative to the rest of the region. The further north you go, though, the higher the risk of shower and thunderstorm activity will be, especially as we get towards the end of the weekend and the first part of next week. I don't expect much precipitation until then, and that which does occur is going to be somewhat erratic. So there will be a few pockets of moderate amounts of rainfall, but most of it's still going to be relatively light. I'd say probably the period Sunday into Tuesday will probably be the first time period that we'll see any kind of organized precipitation in that little corridor. And then again, this would be from Iowa into parts of Michigan, catching northern Illinois, but leaving the central and southern portions of the state relatively free of a lot of precipitation.
So it should be a good week for planting corn across the bulk of the Delta and the corn regions in the Midwest then.
Yes, I think that's true. There will be some disruption. We've got a little disturbance in Ohio and parts of Indiana here over the next couple of days. It will produce some showers there. There'll be another little disturbance Friday and Saturday in the western Corn Belt impacting parts of Iowa, maybe a handful of Missouri locations. But for the most part, you're absolutely correct. It's not really until next week that we'll see a big increase in precipitation, and that'll be focused on the U.S. Plains and western Corn Belt.
And speaking of which, U.S. Plains, check in on the hard red winter wheat crop for me.
Yeah, we've done a good job this past week, earlier this week, actually, in Oklahoma and Texas. A big soaking rain of 2 to 4 inches occurred across some of that Texas panhandle area in western Oklahoma. Lighter rains occurred surrounding that region, but not in southwest Kansas. Southwest Kansas and southeastern Colorado still a bit too dry and need a significant amount of moisture. Well, the storms that are supposed to come along for next week should help to fix that, at least to a certain degree. They're still going to need some additional moisture, but it looks like a lot of precipitation coming up for the plains as we go forward through mid and late week next week.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner, of course, with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, helps us wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.